You're listening to the Philly Maker Faire podcast. My name is Laura Chanot.
And I am Valerie Chiguendo.
And I'm Jeremy DePrisco.
We're here celebrating the creators, builders, inventors, and artists that bring their visions to life at the Philly Maker Faire.
This week, we're talking with textile artist Yemisi Ajayi.
Yemisi produces textile art for fashion and interior spaces, including wearable arts, silk scarves, and soft furnishings. Welcome, Yemisi.
Thank you for having me.
We're excited to talk to you today.
We're so glad to have you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Tell us, when did you first start making art?
I started many years ago as a young girl because I was fascinated by the process of making traditional cloth and fabric in Nigeria. So I started even after my high school. Yes, I learned it like non-formal training. From, you know, the original women doing it in my region. And after that, I went to study cultural study at the University of Creative Arts at the Cultural Study Department at University of Lagos. Then from then, before I went to UNILAG, I staged my exhibition in German Cultural Center in Nigeria and Nigeria National Museum. So since then, I've started working in textile.
And so what do you enjoy about working in textiles? Why is this your medium of choice, so to speak?
It's a medium of choice first because I come from Southwest. We love fabric. We love textile. We love to dress. We have to wrap ourselves with clothing and all of that. And it's a medium that I love too. I can express myself through textile. And also, I can work mostly with women. So it gets me close to other women. And also I love furnishing. I love women dressing. I love to write on fabric because it enables me to do whatever I want. Instead of paper, I can do it on fabric also.
So it sounds like you do a lot of, most of your work is on fabric. And I know some of the work you do involves the Adire dye method. Do you still work with Adire, and do you want to explain that to our guests?
Yes, I still work with that because that's my background. That's my roots. That's all why I started working with fabric. So I still work on that. Last week, Saturday, I still taught a workshop of indigo dyeing of the Adire method in a workshop last week, Saturday, at Handwoven Guild, Philadelphia Handwoven Guild in the Guild House. So it's what I do. I see teach Adire method every time, every year. We run since then till, I don't know.
And who are your customers? Who usually purchases your stuff, or where does your stuff end up?
My customers are all over the world. People who want different things. People who want handmade things. People who want one of a kind. Things that are not copy, and people who want with the Adire, people who want to use natural fabric, natural dye, and all of that. People who are aware of their skins, who are sensitive to chemical dyes, and all of. So it touch every areas, and people who want to include some history, some stories from somewhere else in the world in their furniture. So these are my customers.
So it sounds like you have quite a following, and there's been a really good response to your work.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about maybe one of the more unique or interesting commissions that you've had, or you don't have to mention names, but maybe a special customer that you've had?
I've had customers that they have hotels in different continents, and they've been my major. I started as a consultant of tester produce with them, and I grew into being a producer for them because they are involved in decorating, furnishing hotels. So they use my fabric for furnishing hotels. Mm. And also I've had customers from fashion world that they order my fabric in a large quantity to make clothing.
Cool.
So do you make it in the Philadelphia area?
Yes, I make in Philadelphia area. I use I'm a member of NESFAB studio, so I use their studio to produce. They have tester room, they have dyeing area, so I use that studio to produce. And also a member of Fabric Workshop Museum. So, yes.
How did you get involved with NESFAB? I know that's how we met, so I was curious how you found out about
exactly.
them.
Yes, exactly. You know, I was, I migrated to US in 2016. So, and I've been, before pandemic, I've been going back and forth to Nigeria to produce work. So during pandemic, I couldn't travel anywhere. So I was searching for a studio that is relevant to what I do. Nice. And I can join. That's how I find a NESFAB, and that's why I joined, and I started working during the pandemic in NESFAB. Immediately they opened, I started working even during the pandemic.
So you started off in Nigeria, and
yes,
I know, living here and having that root in Nigeria, do you ever have a chance to do work in Nigeria or collaborate?
Yes. Yeah, I collaborate. I'm a big collaborator. I collaborate a lot, not just Nigeria, with West African artists, with Malian artists, with Nigerian artists, with Ghana artists. I collaborate all around. And I still have my studio in Nigeria. I work in Nigeria for many years before I migrated here.
Okay. That's great.
Thank you.
So what's maybe one of your most favorite or most memorable projects?
My memorable project is when I have a workshop teaching. I love teaching. I love extending my skill. So my project is when mostly sometimes I teach in art center in museum educated education departments, where they invite people who want to know about the tradition of dyeing from my background from Yoruba, Southwest Nigeria. So to me, it's like extending my tradition is a big thing for me, for people to know my tradition through my medium. It's a big thing for me, and I always enjoy it. And I always think this is a way of me giving back to the society.
So I know we talked about Tai Adire, and some of our listeners may not know what that is. Would you like to explain it?
Yes, Adire is like the same way you know about Shibori. Adire means Tie, die. I can bring the word to you, Adire. Adi means tie, any kind of resist. Then D means die. So Adire and Re means die.
I love it.
So deep in die. Yes. deep in die. So the word is Adire. It's like resist with any kind of resist, like wax, raffia, or whether then you dip, and that's Ray.
Okay.
So that's what it means.
I see what that overlap with the batik is now. Mm. That helps me understand. Thank you.
Yes.
Because you mentioned both and I'm like, oh, I see.
Yes. So you worked with a lot of artists. Which ones inspire you?
Yeah, I think from Nigeria, the local women just making the adere, which to me, when I was small and I saw the process, it sounds to me like a form of art, but which they are not conscious of, like, it's a form of art to them. It's just like what is passed on to them and they are making it, because adere is a tradition passing on to other generation. And they inspired me a lot. And for international, Fakes Ring Gold, textile artist, African-American textile artist, because she has used textile to express many things. The struggle of African-America, the struggle of America, the struggle of women, especially. So to me, she inspired me a lot of what you can do with fabric. Mm. As a medium, yes.
Nice.
I love that. As a young artist, I took, you know, in art school, I took a class on African art, which is ridiculous. It's a whole continent, but I was always the most interested in the West African art, and especially how it wasn't so separate as it is in the United States, like where you go and look in a museum and it's on the wall and it's more integrated as part of everyday life. And yes, art is exactly. The art is in the pottery, the art is in the clothing, the art is every day. And, you know, it's just inspired me as a young artist. And I've always wanted art that was less, my friends, I don't put a lot of things in frames and on the wall. It's always books or installation. Yes. You have to somehow, and there's a reason for that. And part of that is that influence.
Yes.
So
yes, that's why I said the local woman, they don't think they are making art, but to me it's beautiful. The process is a fascinating, creative, you know, art piece, but, you know, they are not conscious of that, but they are making it. So they really inspire me to do what I'm doing.
So speaking of, like, just in terms for you, what does a perfect day look like?
Perfect day look like to me when I'm relaxed and my brain is working on what to make.
Nothing else. No administrative bill paying, nothing.
Nothing. Just relaxing. I said, okay, how do I mix this color for my next project? What color do I want to do? What do I want to write? What do I want to draw on my next project? So that's it. That's a beautiful day for me with coffee.
Excellent.
With a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Would be okay for me. Yes.
Nice.
It's all you need.
Welcome. Yes.
When you mentioned that you started being interested in fabric and art from a pretty early age, did you always know that you wanted to be an artist, or was there anything else that you wanted to be when you grew up?
Yes, I always knew I want to be in creative field. Mm-hmm. First, I thought of being a writer because I read a lot of books, a lot of novels when I was young. But later in my high school, when they asked me, when I was in high school, we had a consultant who form your subject according to what you want to do in the future. So the consultant asked me, he said, what do you want to become? I said, unconsciously, I said I wanted to be an artist. So I said, okay, I said it, it's done. And I'm an artist, I find myself.
I love that. A lot of people have trouble saying that. Like, a lot of people can't say I'm an artist. Like, they don't feel comfortable saying that. So I love it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. To me, at that time, I don't even know any successful artist or something like that. I think it's just because I love to create. I love to work with my hands. Maybe that's why, that's an artist. I want to become an artist.
Any special projects that you're working on or that are coming up soon?
Yes, I'm working on some works for an exhibition.
Which one? Which exhibition?
It's going to take place here, but I don't want to mention it now.
Oh, it's not yet public
information. Yes, it's okay. Not yet public yet. So I don't want to get into, you know, that, yes, with the organizer.
Okay. So something big coming soon.
Yes.
So I only use fabric a little bit. Like, I use it to cover books. Are there any challenges with dyeing, any problems you've had, or any challenges working with fabric? And especially during the pandemic, have you had any like pipeline issues or supply issues? Just curious about like sort of your process.
So that's why I do fabric tests before I work, or if they are not my regular, even with my regular supplier, sometimes you buy some fabric, they will tell you it's 100% fiber, but when you work on it, you find out that it's not.
Oh.
So I always have problem with that. Then I have to reject it and just start all over again. So that has taught me to always do fabric tests. Before I work on all over the fabric, I do test a piece. So I don't waste my dye. So that I test a piece, and then if it's not the right fabric, then I'm not going to use it.
You mentioned that you were headed back to Nigeria. Are you going for work? For fun, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. What's your plan when you're there?
both for work and for, you know, to see families, to see friends. Yes.
There's art everywhere. So Laura, to your point, it feels like everywhere I go, there's, you know, on the street corners, there's always something to pick up and something to admire. And I didn't have much time in this trip, so I felt like I need to go back because there's a, you know, I learned about this new artist market somewhere in Lagos, which somebody went and picked up a few things for me. I'm like, I have to go back and see. Mm-hmm. I just walk around and enjoy the artwork. It's usually local artists that people just bring together.
Yes, I miss that a lot, so I want to see a lot of that too before I can head back.
Nice.
Yes.
Are there any questions that you wish we had asked you?
Not really. You asked, you touch on every area, so the medium and my background. Yes, you touch on everything. Yes. My future plan, you touch.
So if you were sitting in a room with all the Philly makers, what would you want to ask them?
I would ask them, will you accept my medium? Because it's a little bit different. Will you accept me as a Philly maker? Because I am Nigerian-American, so I'm one of you.
You are one of us.
Of course.
It's one of the, to me, as a kid, that's always one of the best things about America. We all are. We're all Philly makers. We're all Americans.
Yes, the Philly maker, yes.
Back as a kid growing up, we learned how to tie-dye shirts, and so we would use Rit Dye. That was the brand that we used. I don't think I have any more of the shirts, but I do think I have a piece of fabric that I dyed to make like a little cover for something.
It's a common camp kid.
Yeah,
it is. You come back from camp with something tie-dyed.
Yeah, it's interesting how that that worked its way into our culture as a camp activity, and until like very later in life, you don't always really know where that came from. Like for me, it was always associated with hippies and, you know, counterculture and that kind of stuff, but we were never taught where it came from.
Yes, where the tradition comes from. Yes.
Yeah, and I think even the idea of tie-dye, it resonates because a lot of people did what you did, Jeremy. So it's hard to really understand it unless you actually did it.
Right.
And, you know,
yes,
in the camp.
Yes.
And
yes, in camps, yes, especially, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. This summer, I'm going to also work in camps with kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Oh, tell me more about that. I always love hearing about what other people do to help educate the young folks, because
yes,
it's something I'm passionate about.
Yes, I'm going to be working with Andy Work, Ad Work Studio, to work with, they work with kids during summer camp on fiber, all kinds of form of arts and all of that. So I'm going to be working in fiber. Mm-hmm.
Is Ad Work in Philadelphia?
Yes, it's in Philadelphia, yes.
Nice. That's great.
Germantown, precisely. Germantown Academy.
Okay. GA.
Yes.
Yes. I'm familiar with that. I know where that is.
Okay, yes.
Very nice. So
if people want to know more about your classes or to see your work or to buy your work, how do they find you? How do they get a hold of you?
You can, I sell my thing through my Instagram, yemi_arts, or you can and follow me. So when you follow me on my Instagram, you know my next workshop and where I'm selling. But you can buy from me from my Instagram page.
And we will link that in the comments for our listeners.
Yes, just follow me. Then I will give you information of my next workshop. And you can follow Philadelphia Hand Woven Guild also, because I do series of workshop teaching there too.
Cool.
It's great.
Well, thank you so much, Yemisi. This has been a real pleasure talking with you and learning about your background. And we wish you well with your upcoming secret project that will be revealed.
Thank you.
Wish you well.
Thank you. And it's been a pleasure talking to you too.
Oh, for all of us. I know. I'm speaking for all of us because I know we had fun. And go get back to making art.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Fully Maker Faire podcast. We're streaming on all platforms, so join us each week. Learn more about today's podcast at fullymakerfaire.com.
We're social, so keep in touch. You can find us on Twitter as PHLMake.
Also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest as Fully Maker Faire, all one word. And be sure to hit the subscribe button for future podcasts.
See you next week.
The opinions expressed by the guests of the Fully Maker Faire podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the hosts or producers. If you enjoy the Fully Maker Faire podcast, please consider making a donation at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. Search for JD Maker or go to ko-fi.com/JDMaker/tiers. Your support helps offset the costs of recording, editing, and maintaining the Fully Maker Faire podcast. Supporters at any of our tiers will receive a shout out on the podcast and via our social network. Thanks.